called to be your church who's advancing your kingdom. And we just pray, Holy Spirit, won't you just come and just release life afresh in this place? Even as I mentioned being heavy laden, even as I mentioned the weights and the burdens that we carry, we just thank you that we get to know that your yoke is easy, your burden is light, and that we get to know your presence that strengthens and empowers us to not only carry that which we've got to carry, but get to where you're calling us to go, and to live in a way that blesses others as well. So Holy Spirit, come and work that in us in Jesus' name. Amen. So Sean has already got you to do an air high five to someone near you, but for me it's great to see you. We're not live today, so you can be rowdy, you can lift your voice, you can stand up if you need to. The second service is going to be the one that we broadcast, so this is the freer service. But today I'm wanting to jump into, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. I will just be bringing a slight part of it up on the screen. But it's Psalm 84, and it's verses 5 to 7. And it's a beautiful psalm, and many of us know this one. It's the one where the psalmist says, my heart's desire is just to be in the house of the Lord. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And we know that well. Most of us know that well. But there's a part of it that we don't know that I really believe, even as we're coming, and we just love to be in the house of God. Yet I believe there's a part that we've been journeying that I want to minister to us individually. And I really trust that it will encourage you. And if it doesn't minister to you today, it'll arm you for the days ahead. Because we're in a bit of uncharted territory. We're not too sure what it all looks like as we go through. And that's really what the psalm's speaking about. Psalm 84, verse 5. And it starts off, and you can put the first screen up. Thank you. Psalm 84, verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. And this word pilgrimage pops out because it's not a word that we use too readily today. And it's this Hebrew word, mesila, and it means a journey, it means a path, it means a causeway. And I love this word causeway because even as we're going through this uncharted territory in unfamiliar ways, we can know this, that every way the Lord is leading us has a cause. There's purpose. There's destiny. There's our working for His glory and for our fulfillment that He's wanting to see. And so it's a causeway. And He gives us purpose even where we're journeying in this uncharted territory. And it goes on to say in verse 6, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools, and they go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Now, to understand this text, we've got to have a little bit of context so we can realize what they're addressing, what the psalmist is speaking about, and what I'm wanting to just address here this morning. So I'm going to give a little bit of context to what's being seen here so that it can really enrich our lives. But my title, if you want to just put the first screen up, thank you. When I mentioned about being heavy laden, here's my title. It's Worth the Wait. The Wait, W-E-I-G-H-T, in uncharted territory. It's worth the wait in this journey that He's leading us in. And so as we start, and we're talking about worth the wait, I'm always reminded of boxing, because what a boxer does before a fight or a challenge or getting in the ring, what the boxer does is they weigh in so they can rightly assess what the weight is. When I'm saying it's worth the wait, you want to know what weight category and what am I going up against, what am I facing. And so that's what I'm going to address today. It's worth the wait. Turn to, and I know you can't shout across the room, but if you're here with family, and I know some of us are, turn to the person near you and say, how much do you weigh? No, don't do that. I'm only joking. That's a terrible question, and I tricked you all. Don't. Really, the better way to, fortunately, as was with family, the better way to say it is, what is weighing on you? If you're going to weigh in, you need to know what's weighing on you. What are those things that are pressing upon you in this time? And I want us to acknowledge that and be aware of that, those things that are weighing on us, so that we can know what God is wanting to do, that it's worth the weight of what we're bearing. So what's heavy on you? Is it your marriage? Is it your finances? Is it your family life? Is it your business situation that was maybe going well, but it's in a bit of a downturn at the moment and you're facing challenges? Maybe you're here today and you think, I can't really pinpoint what's weighing me down. Well, a great way to find out what's weighing you down is this. What's keeping you up? What's stopping you from sleeping at night? What's keeping you feeling so weighed down that for the fathers, and it's Father's Day in Australia, for the fathers that you're not finding that time to get onto the mat and to wrestle with your little son because you're so weighed down that you can't actually get up to get down and do that? What is it that's keeping you up? What is it that's weighing you down? And this text is amazing because it actually shows the weight that these people were carrying as they were making this journey, this pilgrimage, to get to the place of promise that they were heading. And it speaks about this. It says, as you pass through, and verse 6, we can put it on the screen. Thank you. It says, as you pass through the Valley of Baca, and this word there, Valley of Baca, what it means is, and you can see it in verse 6, what it means is this. It's called the Valley of Tears. It's called the Valley of Weeping. And it's this speaking of this pathway that led up to what they would call the cities of refuge. And the theologians believe one of these cities was Jerusalem itself. And they would be going there because that was the place that they would go to worship. That was the place of promise. That was the place where their hope was set. And so they would make this pilgrimage through whatever they needed to reach that place. And the thing is, you couldn't get to the city without going through some of these valleys. You couldn't get to the city without going through the Valley of Baca. And here's the interesting thing. As I read through Scripture, I see that nowhere does it say that we won't go through valleys. What it says is we won't inhabit valleys, but we're called to pass through them. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I feel no evil. Because He's with me, He's leading me, He's guiding me, He's protecting me, He's giving me life, and He's taking me through. And so there's this understanding of valleys, and many times the challenge is it's in the valleys that we lose heart. It's in the valleys that we lose hope. It's in valleys that we disconnect from the journey and we disengage from the pilgrimage and we lose sight of our focus. And here it's speaking about the Valley of Baca. And it's really the point I'm wanting to bring is whatever our weight is that we're feeling that's weighing upon us, I want to say it's worth the wait to press through because of what God has for us. And we're going to see a little bit of that unfolding as we go a little bit further. And so how do I handle the valley? We need some keys. How do I walk through the valley that I'm facing? And I want to bring out It's just gone out of my head. And I'm going to just trust you as you shout it out for me. And so on this journey in verse 5, we start to see it outworking. Let me read that again. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. What does that really speak of? Well, it's a word that we don't really like. And so my first point is this, and it's not my favorite word. It's the wait. When we talk about a pilgrimage, it's speaking about a journey. And when we're speaking about a journey, it's speaking about time. And time equals waiting. And it's not a word that we like. It's not a word that our culture is endeared to. If you look at culture today, it's all about haste and speed, and it's frenetic, and it's how quickly can we do it. I don't know if you've heard with Amazon that they're actually looking to bring out one-hour delivery. No longer will it be two-day, but if you've got Amazon Prime and you're in the right city, there's going to be one-hour delivery where a drone will come and drop off your purchase at your front door. Amazing. How's that? Listen, I just want to be open and honest. It's most likely not going to be in this city for a while. We're praying for our city and we'll get there, but let's let others be the guinea pigs. That's my reasoning. But there's this thing of speed. When you want to get a book, no longer do you go to the bookstore. You just download it on Kindle. When you want to watch a series, you're not waiting for the episode next week. Well, not if you're like me. You're downloading the next one to watch. When you want to know something, we don't go to a library. We shout out, "Hey Siri." No beeps. I thought some of your phones would go off. And then we ask a question like, "How old is Sean Connery?" And it would tell you 90. He turned 90 in this last month. And it's just instant. But here's the thing. With God, and unfortunately, or fortunately, with God, it's a little bit different. There's process, and there's a wait, and it requires journeying with Him. There's no "Hey Siri," there's no quick Google, and there's no Amazon Prime to make it any quicker. It's in God's timing. It's in His grace and His pace for your and my life that He does what He does. And so here's the challenge. We are facing these waiting times in the Valley of Baca, and you've got your own issues, you've got your own challenges, you've got your own circumstances that you might feel, no, this has been going for far too long, it just keeps happening, and I'm feeling weary. I'm feeling the journey has taken it out of me. I'm feeling parched and famished, and I just don't have energy to go on. And when I say wait, it's not making you happy. You're thinking, George, I've already done that. I've got that part covered. I've been waiting on my finances to change. I've been waiting on my kids to start to take up some of the responsibilities that we've been wanting to entrust to them. I've been waiting on my spouse to show me the same affection as I feel for them. Or maybe for some of us, I've just been waiting on a spouse because I've been feeling lonely. Been waiting for a place that I can call home, that I can belong in. I don't know what it is, but we've all got these things that weigh on us and where we're in this place of waiting. And it says this, blessed are those. Blessed are those. Who's it speaking to? You can turn to the person next to you and you can say, when it says those, it's speaking about you. Those, it's speaking about you. Blessed are those who set their hearts on pilgrimage. Here's the thing. It's not saying who set their heart on the destination. It's so easy to say, oh, I'm setting my hearts on just what's going to happen when I get there. But it's saying, no, who set their hearts, who find their strength in God and set their hearts on pilgrimage. It means they're willing to journey. It says, blessed are you when you decide, you know what, I'm not just living to arrive there. I'm going to live every day intentionally, encountering, embracing, engaging with God's presence. And so blessed are those who set their hearts on pilgrimage. And here's the thing. The blessing comes in the middle of the journey. Blessed are you who set your hearts. The blessing is not saying you're only going to be blessed when you reach there. The blessing comes in the middle of what you're journeying through. The blessing comes in the middle of the wait. And here's the word for what it means to set your hearts. In the Hebrew, it's the word labav. And it means resolution. It means I'm going to be resolute. It means to have a determination. It means that it's the seat of your emotion. It's taking the driving seat in your emotions. You're not being subjected to everything that's going on. When you set your heart, it's speaking about that you are seated in a seat of courage. And that's what I'm hoping, that there will be some courage that comes to us as we continue to read. So verse 6, as I've said, as they, blessed are those who set their heart on pilgrimage. And then verse 6 says, as they, and it's speaking about you, so I'm going to change it just a little bit. As you pass through the valley of Baca. As you pass through the valley of Baca. Here's my point number two. The first one is this, the wait, W-A-I-T. The second one is this, the wait, the W-E-I-G-H-T. Got to make sure I'm spelling that right. You can wave me down if I get it wrong. Feels like I'm in a being invigilated for an English exam, and I know we've got some students who are doing trials at the moment. But the second one is this, the wait. Why? Because the valley of Baca, which we've just read, is real. You don't get to just hide away and say, no, Lord, I'm just going to sit back and hopefully I'm just going to be translated right into the promise and I'm not going to journey and Lord, you do it. No, it's a real thing. We've got to face it. We can't put our head in the sand and just think we're going to suddenly get out of the challenges that we face. So we need to address the pain up front. We need to look at it head on. We need to call it what it is. And maybe some of us are facing the challenge of illness. I know we're praying for some people who are battling and believing to come through this thing of cancer. I know that there are people who are facing marital struggle. I know that there are people who are facing the challenge of bankruptcy, people who are losing their kids because their kids are walking away from relationship and faith, people who are struggling with things like addictions. And we know that there's the weight of these things. But in the midst of the weight of this, the valley of Baca, when it means even when we know the weeping, even when we know the tears that are being shed, there's a heaviness and a weightiness. But we're coming to see that there's a promise in and through it all. But here's the challenge before we get to the promises. You need to watch how you respond and not react, because these pressures and the weight can cause us to react in all sorts of ways. That we can feel lonely and abandoned, that we can feel that we need to turn to self-medicating and all these different aspects to get us through. Just heard recently of some people even in ministry who've taken their own life because somewhere along the journey they just feel, I just can't see my way through this thing. And sometimes the weight is real, and we can find ourselves in that same place. And we wear a mask not to keep away coronavirus, but we wear a mask to hide our pain, and we wear a mask to hide the weight that we're carrying. And we try and do this in a way that's on our own and just think, you know what, I can't make it anymore. But we're going to come in a moment to see where we can. The psalmist, before we get there, I just want to reveal a little bit deeper what the psalmist is going through. If you go three verses earlier in verse 2 of Psalm 84, it says, "My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord, and my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." You see, even the psalmist here is expressing just this passion and this desire to get to the promises of God. And out of the pain that he's feeling, this word yearns there is the word kalah, and it means to be exhausted and to be spent. He's saying, my soul is exhausted and spent. Have you felt like that? Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. Have you got to that place where you just think, oh man, I just can't continue. I'm just feeling so weighed down, just feeling so challenged. There was a couple on the web just recently I saw that a couple, and I mentioned suicide, they had two children. I think the children were between 8 and 13, and they had driven off and left a message, turned off their phones, that they were going to commit suicide because they were too far in bankruptcy. The weight was too much. The family rallied and they found them, and they're getting help now. But just the reality of what people are feeling, and it's not far removed, it's in our community. And I say this because I want you to engage with the weight. I want to open the text so that you can feel it, because I then want the text just to enliven and bring such robustness and liveliness to you that you can live out of the promise that is ours. And so this next bit, that was a little bit heavy, it gets lighter now. This next bit reveals a vital step in journeying as we're wanting to get into the promises of God that marks our pilgrimage. And you need to see this because it turns quickly. There's no real transition. There's no punctuation which separates it. It just shifts. And so you need to see this transformative moment that takes place. And you've got to make the switch. The responsibility is yours. You've got to identify with the pain so that you can flick the switch and that you can come into the promises of God and out of everything that holds you back. Here it is. Watch what it says. Verse 6. "And as they passed through the valley," do we have that on the screen? Thank you. "And as they passed through the valley of Baca," what happens? They make it a place of springs. When they pass through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, the valley of tears, what do they do in that desolate, dry, hard place where some people have felt exhausted and worn out and given up? What do? Men and women of God, kingdom men and women who are advancing the kingdom, who know God's grace at work in them, even when circumstances doesn't look like it around them, what happens is there's a resoluteness. They've set their hearts. There's a seed of courage that they are not being moved around by their emotions, but they're able to direct their emotions, and they are able to make it a place of springs. Turn to the person next to you that's in your family and say, "Make it." If you're not sitting by anyone, you need to say to yourself, "I got to make it." The challenge is there. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs, and the autumn rains also cover it with pools. So number one, the weight, W-A-I-T. Number two, the weight, W-E-I-G-H-T. And number three, it's the work, the work. Now you're going to say, "George, we don't have to work because Christ has finished the work on our behalf." And I love that. But if you remember, I shared on Philippians 2 last week and we looked at this. No, we didn't look at this. I looked at it, but I didn't go there. It says that we're called to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Here's the beauty. You don't have to work for it. He's already worked it in you. We have full access to his grace, his life, his goodness, his favor, his blessing, resurrection power. We have full access to that. But you have to work out what he's worked in you. You've got to work out that which he's worked in you. You've got to live that out. And so we get to move in response to his ability, what he's done in us. And so here's the thing that I want to say when I say work, is that there's a responsibility. We respond to his ability in the midst of what we're facing through the valley. I want to read it from the King James Version. If we can put it up, thank you. I love how it says it. It says, "Who passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a while." They make it a well. They make wells. They make pools, places of strength, as you read the different versions. What's a well? It's a place of refreshing. It's a place when you go where you are feeling parched. It's a place where you go when you need to quench your thirst. And so locked in this passage is a promise. And in the midst of what looks like pain, we see this promise outworking. And so that's the encouragement that comes. And here it is. If you'll dig it, God will fill it. If you'll dig it, God will fill it. And I'm not saying that because we're trying to move God's hand. I'm saying that because He loves to see us stepping out in faith, expectation, anticipation, which means making room for Him to move in and through on our behalf. If you will dig it, He will fill it. I've got the shovel here, and I'm not going to act it out, but I was thinking I was going to do it, but I see you're already with me, so I don't need to bring in all the theatrics. But if you'll dig it, God will fill it. The Valley of Baca, when you're in that place, when you're in that challenge, make it a well. I know that you feel tired. I know that you feel exhausted. I know that you feel challenged. And I've spoken about series, and I got given this as a gift. I love it. How many of you don't have to put up your hand, enjoy Seal? You obviously know that I do. And in this moment, I want to be a little bit like Jason Hayes, Master Chief Special Warfare Operator of the Bravo team. You can call me Bravo One. And I love in this series, what he loves to do is when someone is facing an impossible task, he says, no, we've been trained, we've been equipped, we've been empowered, we've got the resources, we've got access to all the might of the military power of the U.S. Army and intelligence. You've got to work the problem. You've got to work the problem. That's what we're here to do. We are special forces. And I want to challenge you in the midst of the Valley of Baca. I want to say to you, work the problem. You're not on your own. You've got all the backing, but you are empowered. You are equipped. You are the right man and woman to face whatever situation you've been placed in and whatever way that you are going. God has a cause that He's wanting to bring through, and He never leads you in a way where He doesn't lead you in triumphant procession. So I want to encourage you, work the problem. Not a matter of works, it's a matter of working out what God has already done in your life. Acts 16, Paul and Silas are in the prison. It's midnight, it's dark, they're in chains and they're jailed and they're expecting execution. And in the midst of this moment, what do? They start to work the problem, they start to dig a well, they start to praise, and the chains come off of them. We look at in 2 Kings 3 that Elisha is in this situation that there's a famine and there's an army around him, and the military leaders come to them and say, listen, we don't have any water. And so what does he do? He gets the psalmist, and the harpist starts to play. And then he says, okay, this is what we're going to do. And he tells them to go out in the valley and to fill it with ditches. And then it says they won't see the clouds or the rain, but the waters will come. But they had to go and dig the ditches. And so my question to you is, what areas of your life seem dry? Where are the challenges right now? Where do you feel this is the famished aspects of my life? Because I want to say it's those areas where X marks the spot, where you need to get the shovel and you need to start to dig. Are your finances dry? X marks the spot. Is your marriage feeling a little bit dry? X marks the spot. Is your spirituality feeling a little bit dry? You need to start digging a well. We get to respond to His ability, and we get to step into that place. And the beauty of community, even as we're here today, is we get to come alongside each other, and we get to drink corporately of the well that's been dug. That's why worship is such a key part of what we do here. And Nasipa and the team lead us, and we get to partake in a well of worship that's been dug. And that is beautiful, but individually, you need to also be digging your own wells. As men, as women, as teenagers, trusting God for purposes, for His purpose through your life, whatever it might be, you know where it's dry or where it's not dry, but you're in faith, and you need to start digging wells, because it's going to allow His rains of blessing to fall. And so we get to do that. When we give generously, we're digging a well. Because even though we're in a valley of Baca and a hard time and a challenge and a downturn economy, we give generously knowing we can't outgive God, and we partake in His character and His nature. And we know when we do that, it draws His attention. It draws the attention of heaven as well. And so we dig a well because we are in an anticipation. And because I anticipate it, I'm going to participate. I'm going to dig the well, and then it allows for divine precipitation to take place. The rains come. I'm going to dig a well. When we pray, we're digging a well. Earthly license for heavenly interference. When we worship, preparing a place for Him to come and be enthroned. When we're in unity, we're digging a well because it's commanding the blessing of God to come. When we're serving, that word means to minister, actually means to serve. When we're serving, we're digging a well because the Lord is drawn to humility and He loves to lift up the state of the humble. And so we're digging a well. And so what we do is we stop singing Toto songs. I bless the rains down in Africa. We start to dig ditches, and the Lord blesses us with rain. Now listen, we can sing it. On the count of three, let's go. No, I'm kidding. I'm not gonna sing today. But He does send His blessed rain. And we do sing in joy when that moment unfolds. And so when you look at this, the challenges, and I do want to say there's things like counseling and prayer ministry and marriage course and finance courses and ability to walk with those who give wise counsel, and there's men and women of faith who are mentors in our community. And if you're wanting this, there are those who will journey with you, those who have dug wells, and those that will help you dig wells that you can walk with. But you've got to show that intentionality to come through the valley of Baca. This is what was happening as they were on their way through to the place of promise. They dug a well in the middle of the valley of Baca. And here's the thing that we see happening, that because of these wells, they found strength to keep going, that they could come into the fullness of the promise. Because of the wells that they dug, they were able to do it. And here's the beauty. When you look at it, there would have been hundreds and thousands who made this pilgrimage through the years. And here's the beauty. They were actually digging wells that weren't just for them, but were an inheritance for the generations that would follow. The wells they dug, their children were able to drink of as they journeyed through the land. And it's fathers down in Australia. And I just want to encourage fathers with that. The wells that you dig, others and your children are going to be able to drink of. They don't only minister to you, they minister to those around you as well. When you've dug a well of prayer, others are strengthened. When you've dug a well of generosity in your life, others are blessed. When you've dug a well of relational health, other people will come to your home and find peace. When you've dug a well in your marriage, your children will drink from that well. And you see, here's the thing. Children are always watching us as parents. And they're always saying, what does dad do and what does mom do? When the times are tough, when the heat is on, when the weight is bearing down, what are they doing? And once, when we set that example of digging wells and trusting in God's faithfulness and His reigns, it sets them up. So here's the next statement I want to make. Thank you. I didn't want to make that statement yet. Sorry. Was there not a quote before that? One more before that? I think there was one before that. No, there wasn't. Let me read it to you. So the wells that you are digging, and I've said it, aren't just for you. They're for everyone else to walk through, so they can go through the valley of Baca. Let me come to end with this. Verse 7, they go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. And you see, the fourth one, I want to say this, before strength to strength before they come before God in Zion. There's wonder even in the wandering. There's wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R, if we go to my fourth point, even in the wandering, and that's what a journey is. Reggie, can I ask you to come up? Quinton, can I get you to stand here? I'm going to get you guys to stand on the stage. You can stand right back so that you've got your distance to me. Thank you. Justin, won't you come stand there as well? And here's the thing. You see, if you want to look at it like this, this is my pilgrimage. This is where I am. This is the valley of Baca I've got to walk through. There's the promise where the screen is. That might be where a full marriage is, where my healing is, where my hope is, where the promises, my purpose is in God. And here's the thing. It says they go from strength to strength. In other versions, it says they went from pool to pool. It went from well to well because of what they were digging. So what happens here is I get led to the Lord. And Reggie, you've got the honors today. But Reggie can... It's the place where I give my life to God, and there's strength and there's courage to go on this this journey. But you know, when we walk it alone, we can get a little bit worn out and we can think, you know what, I just can't get any further. And then we come to another well, another place of strength, and there's Quinton. And he can start to say, no, George, you can do this. God is with you. He starts to remind me of my identity in Christ. He starts to remind me of the promises of God. He prays with me, and I get so encouraged that I'm full of strength to go on to the next place of strength. Here's the challenge. It's often at this place of strength where we encounter God, promise. We feel empowered and lifted up. It can be a revival moment that we think, no, this is wonderful. I'm just going to stay here. I want to camp out here, and we actually stop moving in our journey. But we need to know that it's from strength to strength. And so from this place, we move on again, and maybe I get worn out at this place and the next place of strength where Justin is a little bit further. And so you know what I do in the middle of the place before I can get to that place of strength? I start to dig a well. And this place, as where David said, he encouraged himself in the Lord, I dig a well. I dig into the scripture. I dig into his promises. I start to worship. I start to set my heart to be a place of encountering his presence, because that's what happens. You dig a well. So we move from strength, thank you guys, strength to strength to strength. That's what it's before we come to the wonder of knowing God and all that he's doing. And it's these strength points, these checkpoints that move us through the journey, that move us on. And so in the middle of your pilgrimage, you can find and encounter his power. In the middle of your weakness, you can experience his willingness. In the middle of your wandering, you can experience his wonder, the goodness of God moving on your behalf. And I love this, because if you want to give my fifth point, and I'm going to finish with this, we get to trade my weight for his weight. I started by saying, and you've got to weigh in. But the beauty is, when you start to place your trust in God, he weighs in on your behalf. And so you find yourself maybe in the place where you are feeling challenged and you don't feel that you can go on like Moses did in one moment. Moses was in a place where the Lord had said to him, you go on, but because the people have been worshiping idols, I'm not going with you. You go into the promise. And Moses said, no, Lord, I'm not going. I'm not going without you. And then God said to him, okay, I'll go with you. And Moses' response was this, and it's in Exodus 33. He said, okay, but show me your glory. Show me your glory. And then the Lord responded, and he showed him his glory. Now, what does glory mean in the Hebrew? It's the word kabod. It means weight. It speaks of heaviness. And it's saying, listen, when you've got so weighed down in your situation, when you encounter God's glory, it comes in. And here's the beauty that we can see here. When God comes into your situation, his weight always outweighs your predicament. It's the scales are balanced. So even though that you might be feeling I'm carrying this heavy load, when God's weight comes in, the scales are tipped, and his weight always outweighs, his glory always outweighs what you're going through. And that's what it's saying here. And so then Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 17, for our light affliction, we can say, no, my afflictions are heavy. No, your light affliction, which is but a moment. But I'm going through this valley. Yes, but it's just for a moment. You're passing through. Your light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. You saying what I'm going through is actually working for me? Yes, that which you're going through when you allow God to be in the journey with you is working on your behalf, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. His glory outweighs that which is being weighing us down. I'll finish with a quote by C.S. Lewis, if we can put it on the screen. C.S. Lewis said this, all the loneliness, all the anger, all the hatreds, all the envies, all the itchings that this world contains, if rolled into one single experience and put onto the scale, I was speaking about the scale, put onto the scale against the least moment of joy that is felt in heaven, would have no weight that could be registered at all. So we need to compare our weight with the lightness of knowing who we are in Christ and with the weightiness of his glory. We need to know that we're called to dig wells that enable refreshing to come, that we get to be focused on his wonder even in the midst of our wandering, that we get to trade our weight for his weight. And then we know this, that it's worth the wait, W-A-I-T, and it's worth the wait, W-E-I-G-H-T. And here's the thing, here's the focus, here's the posture. Too many of us are just walking around, Lord, when's it going to rain? Now, he's given you promises and anticipation and expectation. You've got to participate, and we've got to be focused in digging wells, so that once we've done that, we can look up and experience the rains of heaven. Father, I just thank you that even as we've come in and some of us have felt weighted down and a burden, heavy laden, I thank you that you say that your yoke is easy, your burden is light. And Lord, I thank you that we get to weigh in and bring this weight before you so that you can weigh in on our behalf and outweigh everything that we have been facing and challenged by. And that you come and you don't only say, I'm going to take it away, but Lord, that you give us strength and grace, that you equip us and empower us, that you give us resolution and conviction, and that you give us eyes to see the promise that you have for us, so that we can set our hearts to walk through this, knowing that we're not alone. Even though we go through darkened valleys, we are not alone, because you go with us and you comfort us. So Lord, I just thank you for comfort. I thank you for your promise. I thank you for your purpose. I thank you that in every way we go as a community and individuals, that there will be your cause that's worked out. And Lord, I pray that we would be a house that digs deep wells, that others can come and drink and be refreshed. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. If you are needing prayer, we're going to be in the corners to pray for you. I want to invite you to come and partake of communion. And you can, if you've brought your offerings, give on the way out. And there are flowers for the ladies. So you might have come in heavy laden with other things, but ladies, you're going to leave heavy laden with fragrant flowers. So please feel free to grab that. We got blessed with that this morning. And if you're needing prayer, as I say, we'd love to pray for you. Lord bless you as you head out. And thank you for coming back at 8 a.m. It was hard for me to get up, so I'm really grateful that there were some of you in the room with me.